Blog Talk Radio.
AS, this is AST Radio.
Hey guys, what's going on? Welcome to a new episode of AST Presents. This is your host, Arden Sports Talk here. Hope all is well with you. I hope you're feeling good, man, because I'm feeling good. You know, I'm proud of myself this morning, ladies and gentlemen, because even though I'm right here recording this great interview, which is about to take place, usually because of the fact that, you know, when I'm doing a show, I'll have the interviews recorded, you know, at, you know, let's say 10 o'clock or even now at 11, I would say, you know what, I'm not going to the gym beforehand. I'm just going to sleep and stay in and go to the gym after. But I said, you know what, for this, I must have to get all that, man. I'm going to get my sleep. I'm going to get up early and I'm going to go to the gym, make these games, work on my basketball skills. Now I'm going to get back and get ready to do this great interview with our guest. And that's what I was able to do today. So I just want to say salute to myself and salute to everybody, man, that is able to get in the gym and do what they have to do before they get their day started for whatever it is, work, school, whatever. I mean, you could get a shout out too, you know, for those that work out during their day or after their day is over. But man, I am proud of myself this morning because I was able to get up early. And I'm not the guy to go to when it comes to sleep. I mean, I'm lucky just to get 7 hours of sleep, but I was able to get up early, get a really good workout in the gym, you know. I keep telling guys about my basketball skills, man. My shot's getting there. My shot's feeling good. I'm shooting the best I've ever had, but it's all about getting my moves back, man. I got to get my moves back, but you guys will see in the next vlog that I'm recording very soon. And what else do I have to say before I introduce our guest, because he's on the air right now? Of course, please follow me on Twitter at Arden Sports Talk. Check out the YouTube channel, which is in the description below, which, of course, I'll be uploading vlogs and basketball workout footage weekly. And, of course, check out the Tumblr. And the reason why I want you to check out my Tumblr page, which is in the description below also, is because that's where the vlogs that I don't post on my YouTube channel will be, and they might be a little more frequent. You know, I love making videos and editing videos so much that I might just throw them up on there on my Tumblr page instead of throwing it up on YouTube where they might get low numbers. But either way, do that for me, and let's start our interview. Our guest that is on the air is a man who, as a basketball fan, you know, as a, let's say, an amateur basketball player, but most importantly, as an aspiring basketball trainer and coach, and somebody whose work I respect so much, this is a guy who, when he speaks, not only I listen, but I think everybody listens. And this is a guy who, for the last 10, 15 years, has done great work with countless high school, collegiate, and professional players all over this country, all over the world. He started to make an impact, and he has a great movement going on called the Stronger Team Movement, and he has helped DeMar Catholic from the DMV area. We know the DMV area is starting to become one of the better basketball areas in the country as their conditioning coach. And ladies and gentlemen, please welcome onto the show. I'm very excited. Alan Stein, how's everything going, man?
I'm doing very well. How are you this morning?
I'm doing good, man. Just like I was telling the audience, I'm feeling great. You know, usually I would go to the gym after these interviews, but I said, you know what, man, I'm getting in there early. And that's what I had to do, a good 2 hours in there, and I feel great.
Awesome. I did the same thing. I feel good as well.
Absolutely, man. Big time, big time. But once again, ladies and gentlemen, this is Alan Stein, you know, founder and owner of the Stronger Team Movement. You know, once again, the conditioning coach for the DeMar Catholic High School team based in Maryland. And like I told you guys before, man, this man has worked with countless high school, collegiate, and professional players, and even the youth. And Alan, just to get this interview started, you know, what was your purpose behind the Stronger Team Movement, your program?
My number one objective is just to teach players the proper way to improve their performance and their basketball-specific athleticism. For most of my career, I've called myself a quote-unquote strength and conditioning coach, but even till now, that title is getting a little bit outdated, as I certainly try to help players and guide them to do more than just get stronger and then get in better shape. Today's game requires a very comprehensive approach to improving athleticism. So we're also addressing things like balance, deceleration, hand-eye coordination, reaction, quickness. So really my objective is to kind of share the tenets and pillars of proper performance training with the hopes that that will help players then maximize their skills and be the best players they're capable of.
On a scale of 1 through 10, in terms of, you know, 10 being very surprised and 1 not being surprised, you know, from the moment that you started, you know, getting involved with training basketball players to the point where you're at now, where you're established name, you know, where are you on that scale of being surprised and not surprised from seeing just the transformation that is taken from play, from what players have to do in order to get ready for the game of basketball?
You know, that's an interesting question. I mean, I've been in the game for a while now. I actually turned 40 next week and have been doing this for almost 20 years now. And thanks. And I still feel young at heart. I don't feel 40. Hopefully I don't look it either. But the game has really changed a lot from a performance side. I mean, it still requires the same fundamental movement patterns. But when I first started in the late 90s, less than one-third of NBA teams even had a strength and conditioning consultant at that time. And obviously, fast forward 20 years to present day, every single team not only has a strength and conditioning coach, they have an entire staff dedicated to performance. They have nutritionists, they have chefs, they have massage therapists, they have physical therapists, they have strength coaches, they have yoga instructors. I mean, they literally, each NBA team and now most Division I basketball teams have an entire staff dedicated just to the performance side. So when you can see how much that's changed just in the last 20 years, it's pretty remarkable. I know that when I first started, you know, honestly, Michael Jordan and Karl Malone were about the only two guys that promoted that they went in the weight room. And I think even those guys, looking back now, would admit that some of their workouts, while they might have been cutting edge at the time, were fairly basic. And now when you look at the best players in the game, the Steph Currys and the LeBron James and the Kevin Durants, again, these guys are doing so much more than just running suicides and doing some bench presses. I mean, these guys make a full year-round commitment to their body, to what they eat, to everything that they do, from ice baths and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. They realize that their performance work is what's going to enable them to perform their skills at the highest level, and that ultimately performing their skills at the highest level is how they become the best players they can be. So, you know, it's really been neat. When I first got in the industry, the hardest thing to do was simply to convince coaches and players that they even needed to do this stuff. And now it's a much easier sell. Now it's a matter of convincing them to do it in a very basketball-specific and purposeful way, as opposed to, you know, just grabbing a copy of Muscle and Fitness magazine and following some bodybuilder workout. The basketball players' needs are much different. So what I've had to kind of preach has changed over the years, but it's been an awesome journey, and I'm beyond thankful to make my living in this industry.
Absolutely. And another thing I want to touch on, you know, just to build off that, which is how easy or hard it can be, you know, especially for somebody like you, or I'm pretty sure you know coaches and these guys that's a part of the staff on any of the levels that we talked about just now, collegiate or the NBA, but how easy or hard can it be to really manage a routine with a player, whether it's a Steph Curry or LeBron or KD or any other professional player, especially when you know in the off season you can do certain things, but during the season they like to call it in terms of doing maintenance on the body. Like, how much can you really change? How much can you still do? Like, and even in terms of availability, because we know an NBA schedule now these days could be very packed up. You know, there's a ton of back-to-backs, triple back-to-back games and things like that.
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting one. So I'm really good friends and colleagues with Drew Hanlon, who's a strategic skills coach in the NBA and works with a dozen or so NBA players. And that's really his main focus. My main focus is primarily youth, middle school, and high school age. But we talk all the times about the differences. And to your point and question, you know, the interesting part about players in the NBA is that is their job. That's all that they have to do is play the game of basketball. Now, obviously, many of them are husbands, they're fathers, they have, appearances and requirements for their endorsements. I mean, I'm not acting like they don't have other parts of their life, but football is all that they do, and they do it on a year-round basis, where when you look at high school kids today, obviously they've got academics for at least, you know, 8 or 9 months out of the year. Some of them play multiple sports. Many of them do play basketball on a very year-round basis, but they're not able to dedicate their entire lives to basketball the way a professional can. So a professional really lives in the perfect world that, you know, if LeBron James wakes up today, he probably only has one or two things on his schedule, either a practice later today or a game tonight. Those are about the only things, which means the rest of the day, he's at least available to dedicate towards performance work, to stretching, to getting in a strength workout, to taking an ice bath, to getting a massage. Whereas a high school kid wakes up today, you know, he's got to be at first period at 8 a.m. and he's got to sit through an entire day of school. So it makes it a little bit different and more challenging. But, you know, since my specialty is working with middle school and high school students, you know, I don't spend much time worrying or wishing for them to be in a perfect world. I deal with the practical world, which is what they have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, since most players these days do play on a year-round basis, they play their AAU ball in the spring and summer, they go to camps in the summer, and then their high school season for most of the fall and winter, I just make sure that we build an appropriate program around what they're currently doing. And I will say that in the 20 years I've been doing this, it becomes less and less what I need them to do because they keep doing more and more on what they're doing on their end. And if a kid's going to be playing 100 games in AAU and going to 5 summer camps and then playing 30 games in a high school season, for me to stack on a ton of extra work is actually going in the wrong direction. That will actually debilitate their body instead of improving it. So the more kids tend to do on their end, the less I need them to do from a performance standpoint. Still need them to be consistent, still need them to work very hard, and still need them to work with a purpose. But from a volume standpoint, as you mentioned, to an NBA player in the season, kind of doing a quote-unquote maintenance program, that's kind of what most high school players are on now a year-round basis. It's very rare that a kid says, you know, the high school season's over, and I'm going to take the next 6 months and not play any basketball. I'm just going to focus on an off-season program. None of them do that, so I've kind of changed my methodology to cater to their needs.
And you know what's so interesting that I'm thinking about from what you said is because, you know, I've been like you said, you know, you've been working with middle school and high schoolers, and you know, and for me personally, I'm going on 6 years working with the youth as well, whether it's, you know, after school programs or as a coach or even as a trainer, and I always found it interesting how to really manage a program with a middle schooler and a high schooler because of the fact that, again, you either have one side that's doing as much as you say in terms of, you know, high school season, AAU season, these tournaments. You know, I've worked with kids and I still do, those same kids where we've worked throughout their season, then they have an AAU season, then they go into all of these invite-onlys, and then I also work with the other side, which is they're only going to play during that season and then that's it. Or maybe they play AAU and then that's it. But another thing I want to touch on top of that is really basketball in the schools because, you know, of course, I've always been following you for quite a while now, but I really enjoyed the interview that you had with Devin Williams. And Devin Williams, for the audience, if you don't know, he's the creator of the 10,000-hour series, the Shift Team, you know, part of Ball is Life and things like that. And you talked about how basically because of the DMV area is growing in terms of basketball, and it really is. I mean, you guys are doing your thing down there. It's the fact that the prep schools can work with kids all year. And I remember you saying that. We was like, it's different than the public schools. You know, the public schools can only work with a kid, let's say, 4 or 5 months out of the year. We could work with a kid all year. So even with that, with the high schoolers, does that same purpose that you said still remains in terms of what the fact these kids are doing all this work and they want to build on this, that all I have to do is basically not hurt their bodies in a way and just keep them going?
Yeah, for sure. And even, you know, if we're going to use the kids at DeMatha as an example, I mean, we are a very prestigious and elite high school. You know, we're usually ranked top 10 in the country. We've got some really, really highly talented players. And even though they may only be with us, you know, in the fall and winter during our high school season, pretty much every single kid of ours, you know, down to the last guy, plays some type of AAU or spring ball as soon as our season's over. So even though they're not in the DeMatha season on a year-round basis, they're playing basketball at a high level on a year-round basis. So that's where I've really had to cut back, where in the past, you know, I might have a real high-volume, intensive off-season program, and it would just wear the kids out because they're all playing, you know, with other teams and so forth. And, you know, every metropolitan area is a little bit different. This does happen to be one, the D.C. area, where because of the rules – where coaches, public school coaches in Maryland, are not allowed to work with their players for so many months. It just makes it an easier sell for a player to come to a DeMatha or any one of the myriad of really good private schools in our area. You know, it's not that we claim to be better than anybody else. It's just that we are allowed to work with kids on a year-round basis. And as Devin understands, hence the name of his movement, 10,000 Hours,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you want to get good at any skill, you have to be able to put in purposeful practice and log those hours. And, you know, at a school like DeMatha, we're able to offer guidance and mentorship and coaching and training to our players, you know, around the calendar, and other public schools simply can't do that. So if your goal is to be the best high school player that you're capable of, and maybe you have aspirations of getting a college scholarship, then in this D.C. area, it kind of caters towards going to a private school where someone can work with you. And that's certainly not any knock against the public school system. I have several really good friends that coach in public schools, and they are phenomenal coaches. They do a terrific job. It's not their fault that they're limited by the rules that, you know, the state association puts in place. So, you know, really, at the end of the day, especially at the high school level, I mean, you need quality coaching. No one would ever say otherwise. And our coach at DeMatha is one of the best in the world. Absolutely phenomenal. But talent ultimately wins games. That's what wins. And it just happens to be in the D.C. area, most of the talent chooses to go to private schools.
And let's go ahead and just take a step back. I mean, we'll definitely touch on the training and AU again, especially session plans. You know, for somebody like you, you know, being so involved with basketball and with training, everything about it, what were your earliest basketball memories? And where are you from, by the way? What made you fall in love with the game?
I'm from outside the D.C. area. So I grew up in Montgomery County, Maryland, which is about 30, 40 minutes north of Washington, D.C. I played basketball at a public school here, had a decent career, earned a scholarship to play down at Elon. It was actually Elon College when I went way back in the 90s, and now it's actually Elon University. You know, had a very, very mediocre career there. To be honest, got kind of burnt out on the playing side, but really started to fall in love with the training and the performance side. I knew that my days as a player were very, very limited. I mean, I didn't have what it took to be a professional player in any capacity.
Yeah.
But I still had a love for the game, and I was, you know, starting to fall in love with the training side of things. And being able to have an impact and a positive influence on young people has always been something that's very important to me. So I figured that becoming a basketball performance coach would combine my love of basketball, my love of performance work, and my love of helping young people. So that's kind of how I got into the industry. To answer your original question, I vividly remember my first recreation basketball experience as a kindergartner, which is really neat for me now because I have twin sons that are about to turn six that are in kindergarten.
Okay.
And one of them had his very first basketball practice the other day, and I got to
that's
go and
sick.
Take him and kind of help out. It's just amazing that 35 years ago, I basically touched a basketball for the first time, and that was my introduction to it. And 35 years later, not only am I still heavily involved in the game, but I have a son who's going to, you know, see if basketball is something that he enjoys. This game has been very, very good to me. I mean, in some way, shape, or form, this game is pretty much responsible for all of the important relationships in my life, all of the most amazing travel experiences that I've had. You know, it's what financially, you know, allows me to provide for my family. And I just think it's neat that a decent high school player slash very subpar college player could turn basketball into something that I get to do for a living. And I'm just very, very blessed and very thankful and certainly try to never take any of that for granted.
Absolutely, man. And, you know, just hearing your earliest basketball memories and how you transitioned into coaching and training, it reminds me of me a little bit because for me as a kid, I mean, audience knows I'm a young guy. I'm 22, but, like, even when I was, like, 11, 12 years old, I just loved playing basketball, but I didn't take it that seriously, to, you know, to want to play for even a school team. And I used to jokingly tell my friends, I'm like, look, man, I do not want to give up our week off from school. I'm like, I really loved those week off in school, and I didn't want to stay after school. But it was something that even at that early of an age, I said, you know what, I still want to do something with it. And a few years later, I was able to, you know, at the camp I've been going to for quite some time now, going on 10 years, Brant Lake Camp, I just love coaching, and I love working with the younger kids. I just started working with high schoolers a year ago, but I still work with 6 to 12-year-old kids, and I do think that is something to it in terms of really knowing what you want to do with basketball and still finding something else that's your love. And just like you, I love coaching and I love teaching, but at the same time, I'm also hoping to at least have some of your success because, again, man, what you've been doing so far has just been incredible to watch. And I just want to touch on real quickly, you know, because a part of your interview with Devin that I wanted to ask you about again was working out with Kevin Durant for the first time. And I really didn't want to make this interview about that much because you've done so much great work with a ton of people. But for the audience out there, you know, Allen has not only been able to work with, like I said before, countless high school, collegiate, and professional players, but along the way, he's been able to meet and work with guys like Kevin Durant, LeBron James, and Kobe Bryant. But at the same time, he was able to meet KD back when KD was in high school, you know, before he really turned into the guy we know he is today. How was that like?
It was an amazing experience. I mean, you know, even at that age, Kevin was pretty raw and, you know, emotionally and socially fairly immature. He was very, very quiet. You know, one of the things I'm most proud of with him, and we still have a relationship to this day. I mean, we're not super duper close, but I see him maybe 2-3 times a year at events. And, you know, I always try to send him a text message after he has a great game or something. And he still has very high humility and is a really down to earth and good guy. I mean, it's to me, obviously he's been able to transform his game from being a high school player now to being, you know, a former NBA MVP. But where he's come from a social and emotional standpoint is amazing. I mean, this guy is in commercials now. You know, he holds press conferences. He gave arguably the greatest MVP acceptance speech in the history of sports.
Yeah.
And I remember, you know, our first workout, he didn't say 3 words to me in an hour workout. So seeing that growth and development is something I'm very proud of. You know, the thing that stuck out the most about Kevin was he's always been a gym rat, which I can't say that about a lot of players these days. Kevin loves being in the gym still to this day. If you were to take away his money and his fame and everything tomorrow, you'd see him out on a court somewhere shooting hoops the next day. He really and truly loves the game, and I think that's really important. You know, he was also unbelievably coachable. He was as talented as he was never one of those kids that thought he had all the answers. You know, he was always very respectful, and he always took coaching. And he always knew that, you know, whoever was trying to coach him or train him was trying to get him better. And that was always his number one focus, was getting better. So, you know, the fact that he was a gym rat and coachable, those two things alone are very rare with high school age kids these days. But when you combine that with his natural talent and his physical gifts and his unbelievable work ethic, that was kind of the recipe for him being very, very successful. And, you know, certainly Kevin Durant was born with some tools that most human beings were not born with. But there's a lot of 6'9", 6'10 guys walking the streets right now that haven't amounted to a fraction of what Kevin has. So you can't take away his commitment to his craft, his work ethic, like I said, his ability to be in the gym, surround himself with good people. And the thing that impressed me the most about finishing that first workout, he didn't particularly enjoy it, and he didn't particularly love doing strength work and so forth. And, you know, even to this day, when you look at his build, I mean, he's not really built to be, you know, to lift a lot of weight and so forth.
Only little has changed.
So impressed was, well, he admitted at the end of the workout, I didn't really like doing this, but I know that this will get me better, and I know that this will help me get where I want to go, so when can we do it again? And that was when I'd be lying to you if I said I ever knew that he was going to be this great of a player. I mean, I knew he was going to be a good player, and I knew he'd be special. But what he's been able to do, you know, I mean, he's pretty much in everybody's leaderboard. He's one of the top three players in the world. I mean, I guess Curry and LeBron are the other people in the conversation.
Yep.
I mean, Kevin has ascended to being one of the top players in the world, and it's because at his very early age, he recognized that, you know what, it's not just about me. It's not just about me doing what I want to do. I'm going to have to do some things that I don't like to do in order to get where I want to be. And I can't tell you, I mean, for someone that travels the world working with high school age kids, that's very rare to find somebody at 14 or 15 years old that has the maturity to say that and to understand that. So when he said that, I immediately knew he was a little bit different. And then you combine that, like I said, with his work ethic, his love for the game, and his natural talent and you know, God-given gift, and you've got the recipe for somebody very, very special.
And that's why Kevin Durant is KD, the former MVP, multi-time All-Star, and in my book, and I think along with others, a legitimate superstar in the NBA, and it's always a pleasure to watch him on a nightly basis. And we basically have a couple – I have a couple more questions left for you.
Sure.
As of lately – not I shouldn't say as of lately, but, like, within the last year or two, there's been this big debate on AAU basketball and private or public training, you know, whatever one people want to call it. And the big thing with the debate was basically people saying, well, who's more responsible for player development? Is it the trainer or is it the team? And personally, I always felt like both sides were always fairly responsible for player development. I feel like the trainer has the responsibility to get the player as ready as possible for any game situation, but also feel like that's what is up for the coach for. Not saying the coach can't develop talent, but at the same time, if as a trainer, if I'm helping out the player develop the skill, then you can help develop a player to get ready for any game situation. What were your thoughts on that debate that took place, whether you knew it was happening or not? Because I remember for me vividly, it was a very big one because Kobe Bryant commented on it in terms of AAU school skill development, and others always have an opinion on trainers and AAU centers of growing fields, and it seems like everybody is a trainer and everybody has an AAU team, and it's going on all year long.
Yeah, no, absolutely, and I'm very familiar and have some very passionate thoughts about it. You know, one thing I'll say, and I believe this wholeheartedly, I mean, the player is ultimately responsible for their own development. I mean, they can look for resources and they can look for guidance from coaches and trainers and whether that's AAU or high school, and they do need some guidance because that's what coaches and trainers are for. But at the end of the day, it is completely up to the player for their own development. And because most high school kids obviously, you know, are teenagers, it's also up to their parents or guardians or whoever looks out for them to help provide some direction and help mentor them to make the right decisions and have the right people in their circle. As far as the overall debate, you know, it's like any industry, and I've been doing this for a while and I know a lot of people. There are some really, really, really good high school coaches, like the one I work for at DeMatha. There are some other high school coaches that I don't think are very good. There are some really, really good AAU coaches. There are some others not so much. There are some really, really good trainers, like a Drew Hanlon of Pure Sweat. There are some others that aren't. So we can't paint everyone with the same brush.
Absolutely.
You know, and even AAU, and I know that during the breadth of this interview, I keep referring to it as AAU, and that's actually my mistake. I mean, AAU is a national organization. You know, not every single team that plays spring basketball is a quote-unquote AAU team. Some of them aren't sanctioned or registered by anyone. They're just, you know, people doing their own thing. So that's another thing that, unfortunately, AAU has been painted with a bad rap, when actually AAU Nationals is a very quality and reputable organization. It's a lot of these people that aren't really AAU people that get labeled as such, that give it such a bad name. So, you know, I will say, as you kind of – you look at the pros and cons of all of the different areas. One of the major cons with training, and this is why I'm very careful what trainers I have allegiance to and work with and endorse, many trainers, I don't feel, prepare players for game situations. They prepare them for one-on-one stuff. They do a series of drills instead of actually teaching skills. And that's a big problem. Drills are a tool to teach skills. At the end of the day, everybody's goal should be to help a basketball player improve their IQ and improve their ability to pass, shoot, rebound, defend, and handle the ball. Those are the primary skills of basketball. And I find that lots of trainers kind of get in their bubble and for an hour just have kids doing, you know, a bunch of stationary ball handling drills and then some one-on-one moves, and then they get up 500 shots and they call that a workout. And I'm not saying that there's not a time and place for that type of stuff, but it doesn't always translate to improved performance in 5-on-5. And, you know, for a trainer to say, hey, you know, your son worked with me for the last 8 weeks and look how much better he's doing in these drills, in my opinion, is a very novice approach to looking at it. The proof is in 5-on-5. And if a player is able to execute their skills against live competition with four other teammates at a higher level, then whatever you're doing is working, and I would say, quote unquote, you're a good trainer. If just because a kid can make 8 out of 10 threes from the corner during your last drill of a workout, but then they get in a game and they can't even get their shot off, then you're not really doing anything as a trainer to improve them. And I don't say that to knock anybody. There's a lot of really, really solid people in the basketball training industry, but I find a lot of trainers kind of get it twisted and they live in their own bubble. And then you end up with this tug of war where high school coaches don't like trainers because they don't think they're getting them better for games, and then trainers think that all high school coaches have no idea what they're doing and that they have the answers, and it just starts being this big tug of war. And you know, you get a tug of war between an AAU coach and a high school coach, or since it's the spring, a tug of war between the personal trainer and the AAU coach. And what all of these folks fail to realize is they're fighting over the player. The player should be the thing that we're all worried about. The player is what everyone should be working toward improving that young person's experience. So instead of it being the AAU coach versus the high school coach and the high school coach versus the trainer, everyone should be working in harmony. The trainer, the AAU coach, the high school coach, the parent guardian, and the player, those five different parties should all be working together and should have open dialogue and communication. You know, the high school coach should be able to call up the trainer and say, look, I know Joey's going to be working with you this spring. Here are the skills that he needs to improve if he wants to play for me next year. Here's where he gets most of his shots from in our offense, and, you know, do your thing. And then the trainer takes that information and implements it. And then the trainer should reach out to the AAU coach and say, look, here are some of the things that I'm working on with Joey. Just wanted to make sure you knew that. So, you know, if he tries this move when he gets in a game, this is something we're looking for him to develop so that next year in the high school season he'll be able to do it. And it should just be this open dialogue instead of all of these people fighting over the player. And to me, that's the big problem going on with youth basketball.
Hey, I agree with everything that you just said, man, wonderfully said. And it's something that, for me personally, as somebody that's just starting to become a trainer, you know, within the past year, getting certifications and working with different people of different ages, that's for me is my biggest goal, to be honest with you. I don't look at it as necessarily as, oh, you know, I think everything I'm doing is the right way. I look at it as I'm trying to get you ready for as ready for as the game for as possible. You know, we try to do a lot of course, skill work, but definitely game situations. And for me, like this past weekend, I was able to get a few text messages from the families of the athletes I work with saying, wow, so-and-so did this during the game. They look good. The coaches are happy. And that makes me feel good because all I'm trying to do is just help the player reach their full potential and get better and take those steps. So what you just said is absolutely correct, and it's definitely something I believe in. But, Alan, thank you once again for coming on the show. This is something that I've always wanted to do, was interview you. I'm a big fan of your work, man, and I'm hoping that down the line not only can you come back on the show, but who knows, man, as I continue doing my thing with this training thing, that maybe, who knows, maybe one day I could work under you, under a program somehow. Thank you once again, man. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely my pleasure, and I appreciate the opportunity to share. Keep up your great work, and let's make sure we stay in touch.
Absolutely. You have a good day, all right?
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, folks, and that's the interview. That was Alan Stein from the Stronger Team Movement, head strength and conditioning coach from DeMar Catholic High School based in Maryland, one of the top schools in the country. You can also follow him on Twitter at Alan Stein. Other than that, that is the latest interview from AST Presents. Thank you for listening. I really appreciate it. Sorry for, you know, the stumble saying that with my words, man. You know, it was, I had a question in mind, but because his answers were so good, it kind of led me to, like, the next question or a different question. You know what I'm saying? But, hey, man, it was a great interview. I hope you enjoyed it. For my basketball fans out there, for my players, coaches, whoever, man, I really hope you enjoyed it. Like I told you in the bio, this interview I have for you is filled with gyms, hashtag gyms in all caps. But, yeah, I hope you enjoyed it. I'll talk to you guys next time on AST Presents, and peace.